you. If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with us to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3 and verse number 8. 1 Peter this evening, chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Again, while you're turning there, we're continuing to pray for your pastor and believe the Lord just to give him a speedy recovery and a full recovery. There's no doubt the enemy doesn't like ministry going forward. I mean, that's a given. And he's going to try to attack in every way that he can. And I realize there's physical issues at hand. But beloved, don't ever underestimate it. There's also a spiritual attack as well. And we can rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We can believe God to send forth divine help and give divine healing speedily. Amen. 1 Peter this evening, chapter number 3. Verse number 8, God's word, it reads like this: Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Verse number 10. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Hear the Apostle Peter. Looks around and he says, when men persecute you, rejoice. They may harm you, but they can never hurt you. In fact, come to the place where you live with such an overwhelming joy that men and women look at your life and they say, what is it about you that's so different? Be ready always to give them an answer for that. Now, beloved, this is no pie in the sky. This is no thank your way to better living. This is the true Christian life, that even in the midst of heartaches, you can have joy and peace and strength. Can you say amen? I want to speak to us for just a few moments here tonight, just on this simple thought. I don't plan to preach the everlasting gospel, so just give me a few moments here tonight. The good life. The good life. Tell you, I want it, not the way this world gives it, but the way the Bible gives it. How about you? Can we slip our hands up to heaven one more time? Can we ask the Lord to simply move in this house and have His way as He desires? Father, I thank You. I thank You for this congregation. I thank You, God, for the sacrifices that they have made, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for the blessings that they've been to so many men and women. And I pray in the name of Jesus now, let Your word go forth. Let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me divine unction. Give me divine anointing, God, divine wisdom, divine insight. I need You. I confess I cannot do this on my own. But Lord, by Your help, I pray, let Your word, God, find a lodging place in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we do pray this. And everyone said, amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm sure glad to see you here tonight. I was kind of quiet. I didn't say text him. I said talk to him, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Friend, the good life, it's certainly what everybody out there is saying that they're after. It's certainly everything that Madison Avenue tells you, that if you just buy their latest product and just use their latest potion, why, you'll be as happy and beautiful as all the pretty people selling it to you. It's everything that Hollywood's trying to push down a generation of young men and women. They don't even have to work anymore. I mean, they can just snap their fingers and have everything that they want. It's the good life. And after all, the good life is just made up of all the little trinkets and toys that you have. And they are the things that are going to make you happy in this world. Can I share something with you, friend? Things
things never make a man happy. I said, things never make a man happy. But we still have a joy, and we still have a peace, and we still have a glory that comes from a world above and a world beyond. And I'm so glad that I have it, because when I have Jesus, I have all things. Can you say amen? Friend, it's not this world. It's not the things of this world, but it's the good life. It's everything there promising us that we can have, but they never deliver. Can I tell you, beloved? It is joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. It doesn't mean you don't have pains. It doesn't mean you don't have mysteries and things that run through your mind. But can I tell you, walking in this good way, it's not the subtraction of the problems as much as it is the addition of the person, Jesus Christ, who walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I'm His own. And through hard times and rain and sunshine and pain, He's there with me every step of the way. Somebody said, well, Brother Zane, I just need somebody real, and I need somebody here. That's where you're wrong, because He is real and He is here. And if you would give Him everything in your heart, you would find Him to be a God that never ever fails. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to God. Now, beloved, when we read this portion of Scripture tonight, what Peter's actually doing, he's actually kind of preaching another man's message. Because he actually picks this up from David there back in the book of Psalms in chapter 34. Amen. Verse 12, it says, what is man that desireth life, that loveth many days, that he may see good? Who wants to see good days? And then David says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from pursuing from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. Here David tells you and me that we can see good days. And I don't know about you, but the way 2019 shaped up, I could use a few good days. Here's David, who lives in a time of war, who lives in a time of turmoil, who lives in a time of pain. And he says, you know what? You can see good days. It's amazing that he has a son by the name of Solomon. Now, as far as we read in Scripture, we never see Solomon running off to battle. We never see Solomon engaging in war. We never see Solomon having to fight some type of civil war. I mean, after he becomes king over Israel, for years and years he establishes himself in peace. But yet this is a man that has a silver spoon, amen, when he's born, given to him, amen. Amen. Here's a man that has everything at the end of his fingertips. And yet in Ecclesiastes 2:17, Solomon says, therefore I hated life. One man lives in turmoil. He says, I love life. Another man has everything the world can give him, and he says, I hate life. How is it with you tonight, sir? How is it with you tonight, man? Do you really look around and say, man, I hate this thing called life? Or do you say, thank God for every day of breath you put in my lungs? Thank God for every day that I get to spend with my family and children. Now listen, I thank God for a heaven that awaits for me, but I thank God for the simple pleasures and simple blessings that He puts around our hearts, how we can sit at a table and we don't have to fuss and fight, but we can laugh and review the day together and share God's word. There again, beloved, that's the good life. This world forks their fingers to the bone. They stay up late and rise up early so they can get a little bit ahead and a little bit ahead. And I'm not against you having things, Lord knows, and if the Lord blesses you with greater abundance, thank God for that. But you remember, beloved, the good life is made because the peace of God is in your heart, and the presence of God is in your home, and the power of God is before your life. And those are the eternal things that we need to be seeking after. It was Mr. Ernest Hemingway, a renowned writer, wealthy in his own regard, who was also a complete atheist. This is how he viewed life. He said, we are nothing but a colony of ants on one end of a burning log. Mr. Alexander Huxley, who was another philosopher, said it like this: we are like a cancer on this globe. Friend, those are men and women that have everything, yet they have nothing. Can I tell you tonight, I don't care if you're 21, I don't care if you're 121, if you get to live that long,
Jesus came not so you can escape life, not so you would even endure life. Jesus came that you might enjoy this life. I'm not talking about just in the sweet by and by. I'm talking about in the nasty here and now. And every day when you got to get up and face an unbelieving world, that you can still find joy. And every day when you get up around cynical people that don't know which way they're going, that you can still have peace right now. And you can get up tomorrow morning, open up your windows, and say thank God for another sunrise, and thank God for another blessing, not just somewhere down the road, not just some life to come, but here now, because He lives in me and walks in me and talks in me. He's given me the good life. Hallelujah to God. Peter says, who is he that would love this life? Who is he out there that would love to see good days? That's me. God, I want to love this life. I know it's heartache. Listen, I know there's trials. And I told somebody just last week, how's your year been? I said, I'm not so sure I've ever seen the pendulum swing so hard in one direction and the other direction in less than 12 months. It's been the best of times. It's been the worst of times. It's been the greatest of blessings. It's been the deepest of sorrows. And life is made up of this stuff. And friend, hear me. You can build your own personal wall around your heart, and you can never let life touch you, but that's not how you were meant to live. Now, you can't let life kill you, but you got to let it touch you. Amen. Amen. You got to be able to breathe and experience those ups and those downs and say, Lord, through it all, you've been good to me. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to call on you. Lord, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that you could solve them, but you've proven yourself to be faithful unto me. You've proven yourself to be better to me than I've been to myself. And Lord, put in me something that desires to see this good life. And that's what Peter's trying to teach you and me tonight. That now we can see it if we would just follow his word. What does he say to us? What does he teach to us? What does he share with us from his word? He says this to you and me in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, be all of one mind. Have compassion one on another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. In other words, be full of pity for each other. Not self-pity, but pity for your fellow man. Be courteous. This is a verse that is teaching you and me one thing if we're going to see the good days in this life. Listen, learn to cherish your friends. You're not going to get too many of them in this world. But love them. Care for them. When they hurt, you hurt. Be courteous to them. Think about them. Send them a letter every now and again. A text maybe. Maybe just a phone call. Care about what they care about. And friend, I cannot explain this to you, but if you really want to love life, learn how to love one another in the Lord. Learn how to walk with God and love each other as brethren. And there's something about it. When your pain comes, you'll find out that you won't have to suffer through that alone. There'll be somebody that comes alongside you and care. When you'll look around and you'll say, Lord, I didn't know all these people cared about us. I didn't know all these people were praying for us. I didn't know all these people were going through the same thing. Amen. Sometimes it's your trials that you have to live through. And you finally discover that there's other men and women that have lived through the very same thing. I remember whenever our second child was born, Ashley. And you've heard me speak about it before. When she came 3 months premature and she was 2 pounds and 6 ounces. Amen. And I cannot tell you the number of ministers from across our movement that said, Brother Estes, we're praying for you and your family. I didn't even know them. I didn't know where they were from. But they were reaching out to me and interceding. And I said, God, there's some good people out there. And there's some people that care. And there's some people that know. And if you want to see the good life, I can assure you, if you'll cherish your friends, and if you'll love them when they're in their heartaches, hallelujah, you'll find the same love when you're in your heartache. Somebody said, well, brother, that's just, I don't have any friends. Well, then you're telling on yourself. If you don't have any friends, here's what God's word says about you. A man that hath friends must show himself. Thank you. Oh, I won't say where, because these messages, they get out everywhere, you know. But I had a pastor friend tell me, he said there was a man that came to his church, and he came for quite some time, and he finally just left. You know, I mean, there's always that crew. And he said one night, he said after service, my wife looked at me, she said, "You're not going to believe this." The man said, "I was going around shaking hands at church," and said, "I went around and I shook this hand, shook this, and finally I started shaking his hand. And as he is shaking my hand, he looks at me and says, 'You know what? This is the most unfriendly church in the world. I've been here for how long? I don't know, and nobody even shakes my hand.'" And she's saying, "What am I doing right now?" Friend, hear me. Amen. There's some people, they just love the fleas and not the dogs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they find the negative in everything you can. I realize that's out there. And some people say, "Well, I don't have any friends." It's because they never reach out, because they maybe want friends, but they've never learned how to be a friend. They've never learned how to care for anybody else. They've never learned what Peter's trying to teach you and me through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And we have to learn how to love in harmony. We have to learn how to walk in sympathy. We have to learn how to walk in pity and in courteousness and preferring one another. And when you really get this down deep in your heart and you learn to cherish your friends, you'd be surprised how rich life becomes. Finally, my brethren, be ye all of one mind. Now there again, that doesn't necessarily mean unity, but it does mean harmony. You may not be able to sing the same note, but you can get on the same page. And there can be a harmony within the body of Christ. And that's what God desires. There's a harmony that brings us together. What is the unity that Christ is the unity that brings us together. Because he died for me just like he died for you. Now I have something in common with every other person that's ever been born again. You say, "I don't have anything in common with them." Yes, you do. You have. If they've been born again, you've been born again. You got something you can talk about. You got something in common. Amen. And I say this humbly, but of all the different nations I've ever been to, I've got one word that I know I can speak that's going to ring home with them every single time. I can look at them and say, "Hallelujah." And they can look back at me, and some of them pronounce with an accent. They may say, "Alleluia," but they can still say it. I can also give them another word. I can say, "Amen." And they can say that back to me. And sometimes our only conversation is, "Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah." And we can't go much further than that, but I know what he's saying, and he's knowing what I'm saying. I don't care if the man's from Vietnam. I don't care if the man's from Brazil. I don't care if the man's from Mississippi or Kentucky. If you've been born again, there's a unison in Jesus. Say amen. Somebody give him glory and honor and praise. I remember the first time I ever went to Guatemala. It was, well, it's Ozark Bible Institute, Guatemala now, but back then it was the old School of Evangelism. K. Smith's right. And I mean, I'm a kid. I say kid. I'm what, 22, 23 years old. I mean, I get in that Bible school. And at the beginning of the week, I'm hallelujah. And all them other Bible students are alleluia. And by the end of the week, I'm going alleluia. And all them other brothers are going hallelujah. Friend, there's a unison and a harmony. And friends that are made. Oh, I don't have time to get into all of it tonight. I could stay here forever. When Brother Harvey Moore called me, and he said, this was years ago, he said, "Now, Brother Estes, do you know anyone in Poland?" I said, "Well, there's a needle in a haystack, but I know God can find him. There's an elderly couple that I went to the School of Christ with there in Sweden 20 years ago. They were older then. I don't even know if they're alive. I don't know where they are. I don't know their names. I don't know anything about them, but I know they were from Poland." He said, "Have you got a picture of them?" I said, "Yeah, I got a picture of them." He said, "Send me that picture." Now, you young people ain't going to understand what I mean by this, but it was actually on photo paper. Here's what I did. I took a picture of the picture with my phone. I prayed over it. I sent it to Brother Moore. Brother Moore sent it to a church that had a radio station. The radio station put it on their website, and they said, "Does anybody know this couple? This young man's wanting to get a hold of him." And long story short, 48 hours later, we're all on a conference call together. We set up a meet and we go to Poland. We sit down and talk to them. They want to talk to us. I want to talk to them. I want to find out, you know, I mean, hello, 20 years, you know, lots can change in 20 years. And they think, well, you know, you're from America. Can any good thing come out of that place? But the unity that God birthed in our hearts right there. I went home, I told Sister Estes, I said, oh, Brother Vladik and Sister Lydia, they're precious elderly people. I said, she is the Slavic grandmother we never had. She's just a precious, just polite little lady. And he's just kind of a small frame little man. And you think about this, God, you've got good people all over this world. Hey, you got more friends than you think you do if you just show yourself friendly. Friend, not only harmony, but look at what it says, having compassion. That's sympathy. That's literally with feeling, with passion, with feeling. In other words, feel what they feel. Now listen, you don't have to enter into somebody else's pain. You're not required to. But there's something about it. When you willingly enter into their hurts and you willingly enter into their sorrows, I can't explain this, but it brings a cohesiveness and a love that just makes life a little deeper. You can sit back. You can say, no, not me. I got enough problems. But by the end of your life, I promise you, you'll be cold, callous, and friendless. There's something about the body of Christ. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one gets blessed, we should all be blessed. I'm blessed that you're blessed. And I mean this with all humility, by the grace of God. If you were to come into this church and say, Brother Estes, would you look at this brand new Cadillac my uncle just gave me for free? Can I tell you, I would be happy for you. We ought not look when other people get blessed and start becoming jealous. We ought to say, thank God that God's blessed their life. Thank the Lord that the Lord's been good to them. Amen. Don't think because God gave them something that He kept something from you. He's a big enough God to get it to you when you're ready for it. Say amen. Some folks ain't ready. They couldn't handle it. They start getting pride in their life. I'm not here to preach on that tonight. But all I'm saying is we need to have that sympathy and compassion one for another. And it just makes life deeper. I've said this before, but I'll say this again. I'll talk to you men for just a moment here. How many of you men have ever reared back with a hammer, come on down and hit the wrong nail? Ouch. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about just a little nick. I'm talking about good old-fashioned blue thumb. Oh, we're going to have a deliverance service for liars. There's some more men that's done it than what you're admitting to. You rear back to boom. I can't explain this, Brother Greg. I don't understand. I can't understand the physics behind this, but somehow or another, I can hit this hand over here. And yes, I'd be using my left hand. Thank you very much. Amen. I can hit this nail over here and this hand that is not hurting at all. You know what it does? It rushes as fast as it can to wrap itself around that hurt nail and say it just wants to let it know that it's there with it. It's not hurting, but it's hurting because my other hand is hurting. I can't explain this. I don't know why. But every now and again, not only does this hand rush in for help, but my mouth feels the necessity. Tell the truth, shame the devil. He said, your mouth? No. My mouth ain't hurting. This other hand ain't hurting. Because the body's hurting, it just wants to let it know, I'm feeling what you feel. Friend, the good life is not an isolated life, but is an open life where we bear one another's burdens. Oh, I got to preach on tonight. I'm taking too long. I'm sorry. In harmony, in sympathy, in humility. Having one mind, compassion, love is another. Love is a brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. I'll say this quickly and go on to our second point. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's certainly not thinking more of yourself. Humility is just not thinking of yourself. It's just putting others first.
Mr. William Booth, toward the end of his life, they asked him to come back because they had a great ceremony in his honor. They said, we would love for you to be the keynote speaker. And Mr. William Booth said, he wrote back, he said, physically, I'm too old and I'm too tired. There's no way I can make the journey and there's no way I can make the speech. And so someone had the brilliant idea. They said, if you would just write to us, if you would just manuscript your sermon that night, we will have someone come in and read your message to that entire congregation. And he agreed to do that. And sure enough, they had a wonderful banquet in his honor. Amen. Distinguished guests were there. A meal was served. And finally, the hour came where the letter arrived. They gave it to the speaker. They had not opened it. They had not rehearsed it. They knew not what he was going to say in his message that night. And when the speaker came behind the podium, and when he began to speak on behalf of General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he opened it and he simply said this: Mr. William Booth says to you and I, others, others, others. And that was his entire message. Learn to cherish your friends. Learn to confront your foes. Now, you may not have lived long enough to discern this yet, but not everyone's going to love you. And you probably have to get to all of about 4 years old before this finally dawns on you. You better stick with your friends, because you're going to have a lot of folks out there that don't agree with you. They don't agree with your lifestyle. They don't agree with how you live or which way you're living or what you're trying to do, which way you're going. There'll be critics out there. Listen to what God's word said in verse number 9 of chapter 3. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, here's what I say, let him refrain his tongue from evil, that his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, let him do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. Now friend, the Bible here speaks of evil, and it speaks about our response to evil. Now we are to respond and we're to confront it, but we are to do it the way God desires it done. And contrary to popular opinion, no, it's not the way the world does it. The world says, get even. The world says, make sure you become a personal vigilante. God says, don't return evil for evil. Heard about one man. Get a phone call 3 o'clock in the morning. Woke him out of a dead sleep. Answers one, hello. A neighbor screaming on the other end of the line. He says, I won't let you know, your barking dog is keeping me awake. Click. Made him so mad. Stays up all night long the next night. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he calls back his neighbor. Neighbor answers the phone. He says, hey, I just won't let you know, I don't even have a dog. Click. Looked over at his wife. He said, now what do you think about that? She said, good, he didn't get any sleep last night and you didn't get any sleep tonight. Now you're even. When you try to get even. Now think about this. You're up here, they're down here. You're up here, they're down. I want to get even with them. Did that bring them up or did that bring you down? Of course, it brought you down. I heard of a woman one time and she was. They said she was an innocent person. And sure enough, there were lies that were spread about her. And finally, a lawyer came up to her and said, you know what, if you'll just give me permission, we'll sue this newspaper and sue that paper and sue them. Because they've all spread lies on you. And boy, you let me get finished with them, we'll get so much money out of them. And she said, no, I won't have anything to do with that. And he said, why?
She said, because when I was a young girl, I once read where a dog barked at a queen. She said, but I never read where the queen barked at the dog. That's something we don't do. Come on. In other words, there are some things that are just beneath us and we don't muddy our hands in. We simply turn it over to Jesus Christ and we say, Lord, you'll be the ones that fight my battle. You don't have to get in the middle of a Facebook war. Can you say amen? I don't care what they say about you. I don't care what they post about you. You can turn it over to Jesus and say, Lord, this is yours. I'm not going to let my mind be captured by this. I'm not ruining my future over what somebody else said. There's two things that God shows us here. Number one, we're not to return evil for evil. And number two, we're not even to repeat the evil. Not rendering evil for evil. He that will love life, let him refrain his tongue from evil. In other words, I don't return it. I don't repeat it. And it goes contrary to everything within our human nature. Because everything in that old Adamic nature says, you let me get even with them. Oh, you got 5 minutes? Let me tell you what they did to me. Oh, you got a minute? Oh, you ain't going to believe what they did to me. Let me just repeat it. Can I say this by the grace of God? God's been good to our family. And can I also say, it's not because there hasn't been pettiness that's ever come against our lives. It's not because there haven't been some preacher out there that in a petty way wanted to do a petty thing to prove his dominance or superiority or whatever it may have been. Can I also say, by the grace of God, in all of those things, our girls have never heard us repeat anything that would be detrimental to the kingdom of God. I understand there's things you may have to share with your spouse just for clarity's sake, but there's something to be said about simply not repeating it. Simply letting it lay dormant. Because you know what? I guess there could have been some fights out there that we could have picked and we could have got even. Where would that have led? What would that have accomplished? All it would have done was burned a bridge, and then you find out a few months later that maybe the person was just under the load and maybe they said some things they didn't want to say. And you know what? In fact, I told a preacher the other day, there was a situation. I said, you know, I know that was said, but maybe that preacher was just under the load. And I said, brother, I've probably said a few things I wish I could have taken back when I was under the load. And he said, well, you know, you're right, preacher. Not you, I'm talking me. You've never done that. I'm talking about me. Don't return it. You don't have to repeat it. What they do ain't worth repeating. I can't explain this, but when it comes out of your mouth, it's just relived in your mind. And the more you relive it, the more it crystallizes in your mind. And the more it crystallizes in your mind, the more it becomes who you are. And I'm telling you, there's people that have went to the grave just as bitter as the day is long. Because all they could do was repeat it and return it. Repeat it and return it. You want the good life? Don't repeat it. Don't return it. I got to move on. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Peter says, you want to see the good life? Learn how to do this. Turn that key, keep that quiet, let that go. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips, said Psalms 141 in verse number 3. A tongue can turn a good day into a bad one. One person inside of a home with a sour attitude and bad tongue can turn a peaceful environment into something tumultuous. There's been a lot of things opened by mistake, but probably none as frequently as our mouths.
Amen. You said, Brother Estes, if I don't repay it, they're going to get away from it. And by the way, I'm not, listen. There are legal things. You have to qualify everything now. There are legal things that need legal action required with it. We understand that. But I'm talking about on a personal level. I'm talking about on a personal inside your heart level. You know, brother, if I don't get even with them, they're going to get away with it. They're not going to get away with anything. They will not get away with one iota, one anything. Listen, God will commit himself to judge rightly. Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord, 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that doeth evil. Hallelujah. The Lord is not going to let them get away with anything. I don't have to repay anything. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm not going to take from him what is rightfully his. You got some people, they look at that scripture and they say, vengeance is fine, saith the Lord. That's not what it said. Vengeance is mine, his, saith the Lord. I close this evening. You want the good life? Cherish your friends. Confront your foes the Bible way. Lastly, communicate your faith. I really think this is the missing element in the majority of our churches. I really do. I'm not here to get on my soapbox here tonight. I'm not here to get off on a tangent. But I think we have made evangelism so easy that our form of evangelism in 2019 is simply this. Go to church. Just come to church. And that's as far as it. We never personally share our faith. We never personally share our testimony. The best we can do is, and I'm not against inviting somebody to church. Thank God for that. But the best we can do is, well, just come to church. And boy, I've really done my part. And thank the Lord for that. But if you want to see the good life, I can't explain this to you, but communicate your faith. And there's something that rises up in you. I know it's scary sometimes. What if they ask a question I don't have an answer for? Can I just calm some of your fears? I get questions I don't have answers for sometimes. But that doesn't mean that God's not God and his word's not true. You may not know every answer from here to the sunset, but if you'll just share your faith of what God's done for you and how he changed your life and how he set you free, there'll be something that swells on the inside of you and you'll find a joy you never knew you had. Every time I ever come home, most of the time, not every time, I always love telling my girls, okay, I sat next to somebody on an airplane. Dad, what happened? Just sit next to somebody on an airplane and just start opening up. And sometimes nowadays they put those earbuds in there, which is the silent way of saying, don't talk to me. But every now and again, you got somebody more willing to talk to you than you are willing to talk to them. And you just get to share your faith just a little. I was sitting next to a Chinese man one time. His name was Zha, which means nice. And I got to show him some pictures of my family. And first of all, before I ever showed him anything, before we got talking, he looked at me and he said, what are you? I said, I was dressed like this, of course. I said, I'm a minister. He goes, oh, ambassador. I said, not that kind of a minister. He said, diplomat? I said, no, not that kind of a minister. I said, I'm a minister for the Lord Jesus. He said, oh. I get showing him pictures of my family. I got to tell him how God's been so good to us. Man, next thing you know, he's starting to show me a picture of his son. And you can tell, he's not there, but you can tell he's starting to open up. I had an extra Bible with me. And Brother Greg, when that plane come to a land and come to a halt, I reached and I got that extra Bible, and I wrote in the cover of it, I said, to my good friend, Ja, from your friend, Zane. I said, hey, I want to give you this. That man held onto that like you would a firstborn child. And over again, he kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I got off that plane. I started getting my luggage in Croatia. I was on my way to Croatia. We stopped in Budapest. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm on my way to Croatia
sitting next to a man from China, and I just got a Bible smuggled into China. Hallelujah! 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 I can't explain, but just sharing that, just communicating it, it just brings a zeal. It just brings a joy. You don't even know that it's there, but before you know it, you turn around and you say, thank God you've been good to me. This is the good life, oh Lord! Hallelujah! Who is he that will harm you? You be followers of that which is good. Now the word followers there is zealot, zeal. Who's going to harm you? They can hurt you, but they cannot harm you. What if they say all manner of evil falsely against you? They can't harm you. They may hurt you, but they can't harm you. This is the good life. Who else could say such a thing? Nobody else can say, well, they hurt me, but they couldn't harm me, except the child of God. They can hurt you, but they can't harm you. It's the good life. And no matter what they try to do to me here, because I live under the Joseph principle that says the devil meant for evil, but God meant it for good. Now all things are going to work together for good to them that love Christ Jesus, so they're the called according to his purpose. This is the good life. Doesn't mean I enjoyed what they did. Doesn't mean I enjoyed what they said. But somehow or another, in the long run, God's going to use this for my good and for his glory. It don't get any better than that. You can't find a life better than that. You can't find a life more richer than that. I don't care how many millions and billions they have in the bank. Hallelujah. This is the good life. I can live every day, and there is a purpose, and there is a joy, and there is a heaven to gain. Got a dear friend of mine. We've been overseas a few times before. And he told me, he said, right after the Iron Curtain fell, he went with Brother Clinton over to Russia. And they went one way, and he said, we had to go another way there in Russia. And he said, while he was there, he said, I was talking to that pastor and there's other preachers there. And he said that they came in, that pastor said, they came into my church one morning. He said, they arrested every one of us and they shipped us to Siberia. It was the dead of winter, and he said, they forced us to work outside. They would not feed us. We starved. And that pastor said, I have seen with my own eyes extremities literally break off of frozen bodies. They would march us out in that cold weather. We'd have to stand in a line. And they said when they saw that hypothermia was just setting in, they would march us back so we'd thaw out again, because it's when you thaw out that you start feeling the pain of how cold you were. And we would thaw out, and they said they wouldn't march us back out again over and over, because we were believers in Christ. And then he said He didn't do it in a sneer. It wasn't any way vindictive. He was just honestly, openly asking the brother. He looked at the pastor from America and he said, now, brother, how have you suffered for our Lord? Brother Greg, I don't think I could say anything like that. In fact, when I compare what I've been hurt as opposed to what other people have been hurt, I don't think I've really been hurt like I think I've been hurt. I'm not taking away from anybody's hurts. I'm not saying you hadn't been hurt. But I'm saying, beloved, you're blessed. This is the good life. This is the good life. There is no other way. There is no other route. Jesus looks, his whole bunch of folks leave him. He looks at his disciples and says, y'all going to leave me too? Peter looks back. He says, man, where else are we going to go? What else would I do? You're the one with the keys to eternal life. Friend, there is no better way than this. Friend, can I tell you, if you'll just live this thing fully, you'll just live this thing fearlessly, you'll just live this thing firmly, you'll find this good life. Sister Estes, help me here tonight, please. Faith is not simply believing in spite of the evidence. That's not what faith's about. Faith is obeying in spite of the consequences. This morning on the drive over, Sister Estes and I were speaking. She said, you know, I thank God for every testimony of how God heals. And I honestly do. I thank God for every testimony of how the Lord delivers out of, you know, lion's dens and furnace of fires and all those great things. And we're so delighted for those. She said, but you know, some of the greatest testimonies I receive strength from. It's when they don't get healed. It's when the pain doesn't go away. And they still testify that He's a good God. Hallelujah. They didn't get bitter at God. They didn't point their finger at God. They didn't shake their fist in His glorious face. They humbly submitted and said, Lord, I am yours. Lord, I don't have to be anxious for anything. As Paul said, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and will let my request be made known unto God. Side note, that word careful, anxious, literally. And in Greek, the word picture behind it is a stranglehold. Paul says, man, get that grip off your neck. Quit having the stranglehold around your neck. He's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to go before you. He's a good God. And I can have the good life right now because I'm fully surrendered to Him. Sister Estes, help me, please. We've bought a bag of goods that's just as foolish as anybody out there trying to get one of those get-rich-quick schemes. I'm talking about even inside of our Christian circles. We honestly think that somewhere over the rainbow, one day all of our problems are going to be gone. One day all of our peace is going to be... You're going to have trials in this life. You're going to have problems in this life. I'm telling you, the good life doesn't look at life and says, well, one day when all my problems are gone. No. The good life says, Lord, let me cherish my friends. God, let me respond to my foes the Bible way. God, and in every circumstance and situation, somehow, I'm not saying you got to preach a 5-point sermon to somebody, but let me just communicate my joy and faith to others. You ought to try it. It's exhilarating. The good life says, Lord, let me be thankful for the everyday things I do have. Let me be thankful for the blessings that are before me. Let me be thankful for the fact that I have peace in my soul. Let me be thankful, Lord, that one day You're coming and coming soon as You promised. And You will take us away. I remember old Brother Clendenin, and you've heard him say it, I'm sure. He said he walked into that bank whistling a tune. He said that wealthy banker peered over his glasses, looked at him, and said, Reverend, can I see you for just a moment? He said, certainly. He said, excuse me. He said, aren't you that preacher on the radio? He said, well, I'm one of them. He said, didn't you say something the other day on the radio about how much destruction is going to come to this world and how much tribulation is going to come here? He said, yes, sir, I sure did. Then the banker said, then how can you walk in here whistling knowing all that's going to come to the world? The old preacher looked back at the banker, smiled. He said, sir, I was talking about your world, not mine. It's going to be all right. He's going to take care of us. He's going to meet our needs. He's going to be with us day in and day out. And I can take a deep breath and say, God, I'm not going to buy the bag of goods this world is selling. This is the good life. I'll never trade it. I'll never look for anything else. There's no greater joy than to know that I can walk with Him. Stand with me all over this house, please. Life can be difficult. Life can leave you frazzled and weary. Life can leave you to a place where you don't know which way to look.
And I feel like God's brought a preacher by tonight to tell somebody, put your trust in God. Cherish the ones that are closest to you. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Let this faith come running through your heart zealously. Walk with Him and take a deep breath and say, Lord, I wouldn't trade this life to live the life of 1,000 kings. I would only take a demotion if I lived as a king and forsook my Savior. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. I am not making this up. If you were to stack that wall full of $100 bills and said, Zane, if you'll just give up Jesus for 24 hours, I'll give you that money. I mean this. I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it. Not just because, well, what if you die? And that, friend, He meets my need. He provides greatly for us. And He gives us something that money can't buy and death can't take away. I think tonight maybe God just needs to deal with some hearts. Maybe refocus and reprioritize some hearts. And say, Lord, let me put my eyes back on You. Let me cherish the things that matter most. Deal with my heart again, oh God. And let me say, You have been good to me. God, let me be grateful for Your blessings over my life. I'm just going to ask every last one of us that would, can we slip up from where we're standing this evening? Can we come and make ourselves a place around these altars? And can we take some time just showing the Lord our gratitude in this house? Can we just begin to call on His name and thank Him? He has been good to us. He's blessed us. He's blessed us. He's blessed us.